Here to open the word for us. We've always been characterized for 163 years of people who love the word, and our service is going to go a little long today, so if you need the washroom, please just do that and don't feel bad. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Luke writes, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Did I pronounce that okay, Caroline? The lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats was Simon. He asked him to put out a little from the land. Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all night and we've taken nothing in. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And then when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the boat nearby and said, and they came and filled both boats until they started to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the feet of Jesus on his knees and said, "Oh, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James, John, sons of Zebedee, the partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men and women and children." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. May God add his power and grace to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can everybody hear me okay? It's good. It is, it's live. We should be good. It's not muted. It's a green light. We're good. Not muted. Check 1, 2. How's that? We good? All right. Because you got to be able to hear me, I think. Well, we'll see. We'll see if you want to hear me. I don't know. We'll see. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here, and just so thankful for how you have been such an encouraging community to my best friend, to Dan. And I'm so thankful for that. He talks you up all the time. And just you are so much a part of his world, and I'm so thankful for the ministry opportunity that the Lord has blessed Dan and Julia with, and we love them so much, and it's so great to be here with you. 163 years. I have a hard time understanding that. So what I did was I looked up what was happening in North America when this church started in 1860. So let me list a few things that were going on when this happened. The Pony Express, a mail delivery service, was established in the U.S. in 1860 to expedite communication from the east to the west. How many have heard of the Pony Express before? That started when this church started. Abraham Lincoln was elected as the 16th president of the United States of America in November of 1860. So just in a few weeks from now, it'll be the 163rd anniversary of that. English chemist Sir Edward Franklin discovered the element sodium in 1860, a noteworthy development in the field of chemistry, as we are all aware. In the literary world, Charles Dickens' novel Great Expectations was first published in 1860, considered one of his literary masterpieces. And in British North America, discussions and negotiations were underway regarding the potential unification of several provinces into a single dominion. In other words, this church started before Canada was Canada. That's pretty amazing. 163 years, by the way, it eventually did, it was 1867 when that was fully occurred. And in this area, Mount Forest, it was still relatively new, having been settled by European pioneers in the mid-19th century. It gradually was developing as more settlers arrived in the region, agriculture being the primary occupation of the residents of Mount Forest. And in many small towns throughout Ontario, what was happening was churches were being built because the church community was the center of the culture of the community in the province. And that's when First Baptist Church was born. So I think it makes sense you're called First Baptist Church. Because I don't think there was any other Baptist churches that were going on then. 1860, amazing. You think about God's faithfulness over 163 years. Would you do me a favor? Would you give a clap offering of praise to the Lord for his faithfulness and his goodness for 163 years. And I was thinking, I can't imagine that everything that went on from that moment to this was very predictable. How many know life is unexpected? You experience unexpected things. So a number of years ago, I was picking my son up from high school for a dentist appointment. And I pull into the parking lot. I'm early. I'm always early for everything. I'm sitting there, and there's one goose sitting on the sidewalk in front of the high school. And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, why is this goose sitting there? It seems like an odd place for a goose to sit. We live in the city. It was a busy high school. It's also a community center as well, so people are coming and going. I just thought it would be somewhere more goosey, you know, like a field or a lake or something. And I'm sitting there watching, and then these two ladies pushing baby strollers came around the corner, and they start walking towards this goose. Now, what I thought this goose was going to do was stand up and kind of waddle out of the way, and then the ladies would go by, and then all would be fine. Not this goose. No, this goose stands up, sticks its neck out, and hisses. So they startled, and they kind of giggled a little, but they kept walking forward because they thought fine-feathered friend basking in the sun was going to waddle out of the way and go by. Not this goose. This goose went from fine-feathered friend basking in the sun to kung fu goose cobra chicken, and it started to attack them. And it not only was trying to attack them, but it was sticking its neck around and trying to peck the babies. So I jump out of my car, because they say it's, you know, fight, flight, or freeze, right? So I jump out, I'm running, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get this hulking body between the goose, and, you know, maybe the goose will be afraid. And so I stick my knee in there in between the goose, and I say to the ladies, run, run for your lives! And so they did. And they leave me alone with the ninja chicken, right? So I'm sitting there, I turn and I look, and it's staring right at me. And all of a sudden I realize I know what it's thinking behind those beady little eyes. It's thinking, I can take this skinny, freckled old man. And so it starts to attack me. And instinctively, I kind of pick my knee up, and it kind of hit it in the neck, so it gives a honk. And I step back again, and then I ran as fast as I could back to my vehicle. How many know life can be unpredictable? And so a few moments later, my son comes out. I pick him up. And I say, hey, bud, how was your day? He goes, yeah, it was good. It was a normal day, school day. He said, how was your day? I said, oh, you know, normal day. I just kung fu knee dropped a goose. Like, you know, it just happens every day. How many know sometimes the unexpected things in life can be great? Right? Sometimes the exam is easier than you thought it was going to be. Unexpected raise or bonus at work. The unexpected just because I love you gift from your spouse. And everybody's favorite, when you put on your winter coat for the first time, you reach in the inside pocket and there's some cash there that you didn't know you left. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? That's just like a great moment. Sometimes the unexpected are difficult. Sometimes the unexpected is unexpected revenue drop at work. Lose your job. Unexpected illness. Unexpected interest rate hike. Feeling the pressure of the bills. Sometimes the unexpected is God calls you to do something that you just think sounds ridiculous. God calls you to do something you just don't want to do it. Well, that's our story in Luke 5, as Dan read, where Luke paints this picture of these two fishing boats pulled up on shore. The masts are drawn down. It's early in the morning. The fishermen are milling around, putting their nets away, and Jesus is there. And he starts to teach. And we don't exactly know what the topic was that he was teaching that day, but as he's teaching, a crowd starts to form, and more people. So he asks Simon Peter to push his boat out from the shore so he can stand on it as a platform to teach to all the people. And Peter continues to clean up, and then all of a sudden, Jesus turns to him and says something unexpected. Now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. This would have sounded like a ridiculous statement from Jesus in that moment. And so Peter responds really naturally, and I think I understand why. He says, we worked hard all night last night and didn't catch a thing. He's like, Jesus, what are you talking about? Why would I do that? Now, if I was Peter, here's what I would be thinking. I'd be thinking, we worked hard all last night. I'm tired. I don't want to fish anymore. I want to go home. I want to get a bath. I want to go to bed. Right? We grew up in, I was born in Parry Sound. We have a family cottage there, and we love to fish. Sometimes we've fished all night before. And it's tiring to fish all night, but let me tell you something. It's a lot more tiring when you aren't catching anything. You're just sitting. You're not actually fishing, you know? You're not catching. And I'm sure he was tired. Like, we've worked hard all night. Why would we keep fishing now during the day? I also would have thought, you know, Jesus, I'm a fisherman. I know how to fish. And we didn't catch anything. We have every reason to believe that Simon Peter was a very good fisherman. He grew up on the Sea of Galilee. This is not a hobby. This is his business. He knows what he's doing. He would have tried absolutely everything. He would have gone to every fishing, best fishing spot he knows. He would have tried every trick in the book to try to catch fish. And they caught nothing. He's like, I don't know what's going on, Jesus. There's just fish just don't want to be caught right now. Plus, they fished at night. Now it's during the day. He knows it's better at night. The third thing I would have thought if I was Simon Peter and Jesus said this to me is I would have said, you know, Jesus, I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. I'll stick to fishing. You stick to building things. Because let's remember, this is at the beginning, right? They don't really know all the power and the capacity of who Jesus really is. I would have been like, I know what I'm doing, Jesus. So Simon Peter responds in this really natural way, like, I don't know if that's a good idea, Jesus. I get that. It makes sense. You know what I've learned in my life? That making excuses is easy and faithful obedience to God is difficult. You learned that? It's easy to come up with excuses. It's especially easy to come up with excuses when the very thing that Jesus is telling me to do is the hard thing that I've already been trying to do and it hasn't seemed to be working. Jesus tells him to go back out in the same difficult waters and doing the same difficult thing that isn't working. You and I have heard what they say the definition of insanity is, right? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. But then all of a sudden we see this change. We've worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing. Very next sentence. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. How did Simon Peter go from that's illogical to I'm going to give it a try? We don't know exactly what happened in this moment, but it's interesting. There's no further dialogue recorded by Luke. The way I picture it is Simon Peter's continuing to put the nets away and as Jesus is teaching. And he can kind of overhear him, but maybe not totally paying attention. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says something directly to him. And I picture Simon Peter still working and then just saying, you know, right away responding, well, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. And then I picture Jesus not even saying anything, just like that awkward kind of silent moment, you know? And Simon Peter turns and looks at him. And then there was either something in Jesus' look, or maybe there was something that Jesus had taught about that all of a sudden registered to Simon Peter and made him shift from, but if you, to, that is illogical too, but if you say so. Friends, I got to tell you something. Doing the same thing and expecting a different result is a definition of insanity if it's your statement and you're the one in control and in command. But it's the definition of a heart filled with faith if it's God's instruction and God's the one in control. But if you say so, and this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear, a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. From the same difficult waters, doing the same difficult thing, Jesus brought a miraculous blessing. It's like what happens with the Chinese bamboo tree. I'm not sure if you've heard about this or not, but it's pretty amazing. The Chinese bamboo tree starts out with a seed that's like the size of a walnut. And you put the seed in the ground, and you have to water it every day for 5 years before anything starts to grow. 5 years watering it every single day. If you miss a day, the seed dies in the ground and it won't grow. But if you water it faithfully every day for 5 years, all of a sudden it sprouts up from the ground and then it grows up to 90 feet tall in 6 weeks. It grows up to 3 feet a day. You could almost literally sit there and watch it grow. It grows like an inch every 40 minutes. Now, let me ask you a question. Did it grow 90 feet in 6 weeks, or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years in 6 weeks? I would say it took 5 years of faith. Like, imagine if I decided I want to grow a bamboo tree, and I do realize we're in Ontario, okay? But say I decided, you know, I wanted to do this, and I planted this seed in the ground. I started watering it every day. Every day for a week, every day for 3 months, every day for 6 months, brown patch of dirt, just watering it. And then my neighbor walks by and says, "Hey, Kev, good job there, buddy. Putting a lot of time and effort into that brown patch of dirt. You're really good at agriculture." I'd be like, no. Everything's going according to plan. I'm watering my bamboo tree. What do you think my neighbor would think about that? They would like go home and say, "You know, we need to keep the kids away from the Shepherd residence. They're losing it over there." Now imagine what they would say after a year, after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Every single day I'm out there watering this brown patch of dirt. 5 years. Could you imagine? Then what would they say after 5 years and 6 weeks? Let me tell you, I don't know what dream you've been watering for a long time. I don't know what you've been holding on to. Maybe it's that unsaved loved one. Maybe it's your dream and you've been praying for this place to be completely full. I loved seeing that on the bulletin today. I just want to tell you, Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 18, "Always pray and never give up." Always pray and never give up. Could we just be people with a heart filled with faith that say, "But if you say so, Lord, if you say so, I'll go again. If you say so, I'll serve again. If you say so, I'll love again with faith in my heart." Notice with me that there was an intervention in Simon before there was an intervention from God. The point of this miracle was not to prop up the boy's fishing business. It was always about the soul and the heart. It was always about a personal transformation. I learned a number of years ago, I learned this lesson. I was transitioning between churches as a pastor. I've been a pastor for 27 years. And I was transitioning from one church to the next. I had about 2 weeks left. And so I was really busy. I was trying to wrap up a number of things and get things set up as best I could for the new leadership. And as I had a meeting at 8:30 that night, and I was planning on just working right through. And I was getting a little hungry, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go grab something to eat. And then I saw on my phone there was a voicemail message. So I decided to get the voicemail. I picked it up, And it was from this guy named Randy Arrowsmith. I had never heard of Randy before in my life, didn't know who he was. And he explained that he had been struggling with drug addiction for a long time, and that someone from the church named Leanne told him if he ever had needed to talk to anybody, to call Kevin at the church. And so he said that's why he called, and he left his phone number. And I'm embarrassed to tell you now that my first thought was this: I'm too busy to call Randy back. I got too much going on. So I hung up the phone and I kept doing a few things just before I was going to go get something to eat. And then, you know, in your knower, like when God's telling you to do something or you know you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you know, in your knower, you're like, uh-oh, I better do that. And I felt like God impressed on my heart, if you're too busy to help people who need help, you're too busy. So I sat down, I picked up the phone, and I called Randy back. And he explained his situation a bit, and I said, well, Randy, can I pick you up and take you out for supper? I'm just about to go with something to eat. Can I pick you up, take you out for supper, and we'll have a chat? He goes, well, actually, I can't. I'm staying at my friend's house at his cottage just 20 minutes outside of town. He said, my friend bailed me out of prison last night, and I'm at his place. I don't have a vehicle. I can't get into town. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to grab something. I'll come out and see you. And he goes, well, I just finished eating. I made spaghetti and meatballs. Can I feed you? And I'm like, sure. Okay, no problem. So I get in the car. I start driving out there. Now, I will say to you, it occurred to me, I was about halfway out there, and I realized I'm going to meet a guy I've never met before who was addicted to drugs and just got out of jail last night. It's probably not the safest thing for me to do in the world. So I'm not necessarily recommending this as an approach, but I just felt like I needed to go. So I drive out, I get to his place, I go in, we have this conversation. I realized after just a few minutes that I really thought he was ripe for the gospel of Jesus. He really, what he needed in his life was Jesus. So I just told him why I believe Jesus. It was very short, maybe 3 minutes. I said, that's why I believe Jesus is my Savior. And he says to me, that makes complete sense to me. I need Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Yes, I believe that. I was surprised. I said, okay. He said, so what do I do now? Go to church or something? I said, well, that's a good idea. There's a few other things that we need to do as well to just, you know, keep going on this path. And just as I said that, this friend who had bailed him out of jail walked into the cottage. And his name was Rob. Met him for the first time. We had a little chat. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm one for one. I'm going to kind of go for it with Rob here. So I just said, hey, Rob, you know, Randy just accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Where are you at with your relationship with God? He goes, well, I believe there's something. I go, why do you say that? He says, well, you're sitting in my kitchen. I go, okay, what do you mean by that? He said, well, last night, I was sitting down to watch the home run derby in the MLB. And as I did, this guy comes on the screen, and his name's Josh Hamilton. He's a baseball player. And he's in the home run derby. And he told his story about how he was addicted to drugs. And then he accepted Jesus as his Savior, and it totally transformed his life. And so I called Randy, and Randy came, and Randy listened, and we watched the home run derby. And the guy won the home run derby. In fact, he got the record for the most home runs in one single round with 28. And they were absolutely bombs. I remember watching it. And he said, and then Randy all of a sudden remembered what Leanne had told him, and so he called you, and now you're sitting in my kitchen, and you tell me that he actually did the same thing that Josh Hamilton did. He said, that's something, right? I said, more than something, Rob, that's God. He said, can I pray for you? So yeah, so I prayed for them both. Finished praying, you know, wrapping up, I'm just about to walk out, and I'm thinking, I gotta find somebody to connect Randy with because I'm gonna be gone and I gotta find a really good person to walk along, disciple him. And I thought of this guy named Paul Limburner. Really good guy on our board in our church. And just as I'm about to walk out, I'm not making this up. If you knew Paul Limburner, you could ask him, you can ask my wife, it's true. As I'm walking out the door, all of a sudden he says to me, do you know Paul Limburner? I said, why would you say that to me right now? He goes, well, I used to be Paul's hockey coach 20 years ago. And when I was his hockey coach, I watched all of his friends get into alcohol and drugs and partying, but Paul didn't. He went a different direction, and I think he goes to your church. Is that true? I go, Paul is an amazing guy. I was just thinking about who to connect you with. I thought of Paul. I said, Paul's on my board. He's an amazing guy. I'd love to connect you with him. He goes, that's amazing. He says, how about Thursday? He said, we could go golfing together. And I heard the angels singing in that moment. It was just... And so I said, we'd love to go golfing. So I said, I'll call Paul right away. I get in the car. I'm driving. I call Paul. I said, Paul, you'll never guess who I just had spaghetti and meatballs with. He goes, who? I said, Randy Arrowsmith. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. He goes, no, you didn't. He's in jail. I said, no, his friend Rob bailed him out. He said, Rob Sherton? I said, yeah. He goes, you were at Rob's place? I said, yeah. And I said, I just had spaghetti and meatballs. And I said, guess what? He just gave his heart to the Lord. He says, no, he didn't. I said, yeah, he did. He said, Kev, do you understand who this guy is? And he told me about Randy's background, which I'm not going to tell you, but it was a big deal. And I said, he gave his heart to the Lord, and he wants to play golf with us on Thursday. Silence on the end of the phone. He goes, Kev, you'll never guess what just happened. I go, what? He said, every year, we play golf with these clients every year, and it's supposed to be this Thursday. And I just got off the phone with them 5 minutes ago. They had to cancel. I said, well, I think it sounds like God wanted you to golf with his client and not yours. We got together. We golfed on Thursday. It was an amazing reunion with them. Randy came to the church on the Sunday morning. He reaffirmed his decision to follow Jesus. He got baptized the next Sunday. And before I left, so about 10 days after I met Randy for the first time, I was trying to spend some time with him before I left, and we had to go into the post office. We go into the post office. As we walk in, this one woman was walking out, and Randy recognizes her, and he goes, Joanne. She looks at him. She didn't recognize him. He said, it's Randy, Randy Arrowsmith. And she goes, Randy? He goes, Joanne, it's good to see you. She said, when's the last time I saw you? He goes, the last time you saw me was we were at a bonfire together, a campfire, and you told me about Jesus. He said, do you remember that? She goes, I do remember that. He said, well, guess what? She says, no. He goes, yes. No. Yes. She goes, when? He said, 10 days ago with this guy. And we had this little party in the post office. Everybody thought we were crazy. Randy went on to start a Celebrate Recovery program in the church. He ended up ministering to so many people, leading people to Jesus. He got married. He ended up having this incredible, blessed life. He passed away just last year. Amazing transformation. Now think about this. Think about the seeds that were planted with no immediate fruit. Right? Think about Leanne that had just planted that little seed. If you need somebody to talk to sometime, just call Kevin at the church. No impact from that she saw. Think about Joanne, 12 years previous, at a bonfire, told Randy about Jesus and saw no impact, didn't see him after that. Think about Paul Limburner, 20 years previous, just making the right decision to do what God had told him to do despite the pressure to the contrary. And in the midst of all of that, God was planting seeds. And somehow, think about me. I almost missed it. I almost missed it. In my busyness, my activity, I almost missed an opportunity to watch God transform someone's life for eternity. There's got to be intervention before there's intervention. And often God wants us to change. God wants us to see and hear his voice and reach out to those people that need to know of his love and his grace, despite whether we see the immediate results or not, just to faithfully do what God is calling us to do. And you might say, well, I don't have the skill or capacity to do that. I'm not a professional communicator. Maybe you listen to Pastor Dan preach on Sundays and you think, man, I could never do what he does. He's so good. Isn't he so good? Incredible. God has really blessed him. And you think, man, I can't communicate like that. I don't know if I could answer the questions of somebody about faith. And the great news about the gospel is this. It's actually not about you and me. It's actually about the one we're talking about. It's actually about Jesus. And that's why Paul says this in Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You have everything you need to bring the gospel of God's love and grace to the people around you, to the people of Mount Forest, to the people in this community. And if we make it about our own ability or inability, we actually make it about us instead of Jesus. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, every time I hear this verse, it's so often misinterpreted. People hear this verse and they think, God's got great things in store and we can't even imagine all the good things that God's got in store. And while that's true, Ephesians 3:20, Paul talks about that. That's just not what he means with this verse. What Paul means with this verse, he's actually quoting Isaiah 64. This is a quote. And he's saying, this. The quote was from Isaiah on behalf of a remnant that needed God to break in. Now, isn't that what we need? We need God to break in our community. We know that. And Paul's saying, they had no idea what God was going to do. But look at the very next verse, verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Paul isn't talking about what you don't know, but what you do. He's not talking that you're restricted, but you've been released. He's saying you have everything you need to live the life that God has called you to do. You could do this. We can do this. Intervention before interaction, but then transformation comes through interaction. Paul goes on to say, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We can know. The word here for know is a word eidomen. It's different than head knowledge. It's knowledge by experience. How many know there's a difference between knowing something and then knowing by experience? So I'll tell you one more little story here. So my wife, Sherry, loves roller coasters. Me, not so much. And a number of years ago, we decided to go to Sandusky, Ohio, to Cedar Point Amusement Park for our anniversary without the kids. And so I knew she was going to want to go on the biggest, baddest, craziest roller coasters there. And so I do a little research, because that's who I am. And I research, and I find out she wants to go on this roller coaster called Millennium Force. Now, Millennium Force, I don't know if you've been to Canada's Wonderland, but Canada's Wonderland has a ride there called the Leviathan. It's 306 feet tall and goes 148 kilometers an hour. Millennium Force is bigger and faster. Okay, so we get there, and sure enough, first thing she wants to do, Millennium Force. Like, no warm-up kiddie coasters for Kev, right? Just right into the big bad one. So we go there, and before I tell you the rest of the story, in my defense, I wasn't feeling great that day. My neck was kind of out, you know, it's kind of one of those things. And so we get going on this roller coaster, and we start going up. Now, normal roller coasters, they go up really slow, right? And then at the top, they just kind of tip over the big hill, and away they go. Not this one. No, this one goes fast from the beginning, and then speeds up partway up the hill, and then speeds up again before it goes over the top. So it kind of goes over the top like this. Like just rips over the top. And then all of a sudden, we're going fast down. And I'm thinking, wow, this is fast. And I look over at my wife, and she's going, yeah! And I'm like, oh. Wow, I can't, Cher, are you, ah! And I'm thinking, this is going so fast. It's kind of getting dark out here. And then sure enough, and then we finally kind of go over this hill and I kind of come up and the blood comes back to my head and I kind of look around and I realize what's going on. And I try to tell her, and I look over, and I go, Cher. She's like, yeah. And before I could get it out, Now, obviously, I survived, but barely. Now, how many know there's a difference between me knowing about Millennium Force and me knowing Millennium Force by experience? And there's a difference between you knowing that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and knowing from experience that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And how do we engage that? It's this. It's taking the step of faith. It's just stepping out. And I'm telling you, it's exciting and it's thrilling and it's nerve-wracking, and sometimes God puts you in situations that are unexpected and you feel like passing out. But I'll tell you, there is no ride like it in the world. To just speak, to share God's love, to share His grace with those around you. Because here's what I believe, First Baptist Church, Mount Forest. Everything that God has done in the past has set the stage for everything ahead. Everything that God has done through the last 163 years has set the stage for the outpouring of unexpected fruitfulness that God has in store for you. Can you believe that in your heart with me today? Can you stir up the faith within you? And maybe it's felt like you're fishing in the same deep waters and the same difficult time, and it's been night after night, day after day, you've been believing for the transformation of your community. But Jesus is saying to you, I'm ready. Are you ready? Will you go again? Will you go again? Will you love again? Will you trust again? Because here's the thing. I used to think that the miracle began the moment that Peter and his friends put the nets into the water. And I actually think the miracle started before that. We'll only find out in heaven. But here's what I think. I think the miracle started the night before. I think there's no way these professional fishermen, two boats, they all know exactly what they're doing. They fish all night and catch nothing. I think the miracle started the night before. I'm not saying God causes all the hardship in our life. He doesn't. I do know that there's an enemy that's going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I know that our gracious, loving, good God takes what the enemy means for harm and he turns it into good. But I do know that God allows us to go through some difficult times. And I trust that he's already working the miracle out in the midst of it. I trust that he's already working the provision out in the midst of it. So in the midst of your difficulty, whatever it is you're facing, can you trust that God's already at work? Trust that God's already at work in the midst of the dark night, in the midst of the difficult circumstance, in the midst of the unexpected illness, in the midst of the job loss, in the midst of the unexpected challenges around you. Trust that God is at work, because he is. I believe sometimes the setback is just a setup for the comeback. And if you trust him and you pour your heart out to him, I think we'll have moments like Simon Peter. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I've learned that fruitfulness is tied to faithfulness. And as we faithfully follow Jesus, he will pour out blessings in ways that we can't expect or contain. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so humbled at your goodness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we're thankful that you have provided in so many ways, beyond ways that even we as a people here today, 163 years later, could ever understand. And Lord, I don't know the challenges that those who are here today are facing in their lives. I don't know about family members that they've prayed for them to come back to faith. Lord, I pray that there will be so many more Randy Arrowsmith-like moments in this community, that there will be heart and soul transformation. Lord, that as we just faithfully serve you and follow you, your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.